It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Donald Trump takes center stage at the Republican National Convention tonight. Today, though, his vanquished rival, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, kept himself in the spotlight. Cruz, of course, was booed off the stage in Cleveland last night after he urged Republicans to, quote, vote your conscience. Today, he told the Texas delegation he has not endorsed Trump, in part because the billionaire insulted Cruz's father and wife during the raucous GOP primary.
I am not in the habit of supporting people who attack my wife and attack my father. And that pledge was not a blanket commitment that if you go and slander and attack Heidi, that I'm going to nonetheless come like a servile puppy dog and say thank you very much for maligning my wife and maligning my father.
So why was Cruz allowed to speak in the first place? Today, as part of a two-hour Think special, Chris Boyd talked with UT Arlington professor Rebecca Dean, who said the timing of the speech was unusual.
Rule number one is you don't give someone that primetime spot without vetting their speech. Number two, you give your arch rival a good spot on the first day, not on the third day, not close to, and certainly not on the day that your vice presidential person is going to speak. So those rules were already violated. And then the notion that Mr. Trump knew that this was going to happen and he had that sort of WWE moment at the end intentionally, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but I confess I was.
You can find the Think special on Donald Trump at KERA.org/think. Next Thursday, we'll take a two-hour look at Hillary Clinton. And live coverage of tonight's Republican convention finale starts at 7 on KERA Radio, TV, and online at KERANews.org. A new light rail extension had its first test run today. The DART extension runs 3 miles from the Ledbetter Station in South Dallas to the University of North Texas Dallas campus. KERA's Stephanie Kuo hopped aboard for the train's maiden voyage.
The Blue Line extension adds another 3 miles to the DART system. That's 93 miles in all of light rail in North Texas over the course of just 20 years. And for those two decades, Faraz Wood has overseen the build-out of DART rail and has trained almost every operator. That includes Thursday's driver, Jerome Watts, and the dozen or so men in reflective vests walking along the track.
They're really trying to get a bird's eye view of what it's going to look like. Will the train fit through the area? Is everything safe? So that's exciting for us to know that, you know, after all of this hard work, everything is completed and everything was done safely and correctly.
The train car is packed with DART personnel and dignitaries. It's creeping along at 3 miles per hour, which gives those on board plenty of time to admire the greenery outside. This part of Dallas near Interstates 35 and 20 is nothing like the bustling downtown. State Senator Royce West believes this rail line could change that. West led the push to open a UNT campus in Dallas, which aims to ultimately host 30,000 students. He sees it as a catalyst for economic development.
You're going to begin to see more and more businesses locating in proximity to the university in order to serve the student body. You're going to begin to see more and more housing developments that will be here in order to provide housing opportunities for the staff. So it's going to have a synergistic effect.
With the extension, all schools in the UNT system are connected. Students can take the A train from the main campus in Denton and transfer in Carrollton onto the green line to the law school downtown. They can take the blue line to the UNT Dallas campus, and they can take the Trinity Railway Express to the medical school in Fort Worth. DART President Gary Thomas says it's been fun watching the light rail evolve.
You know, when you think of public transportation, North Texas isn't always the first place you might think of, but we're the one that's kind of sneaking up. We've got the longest light rail system in North America.
The Blue Line extension from Ledbetter Station to UNT Dallas will open on October 24th, 3 years ahead of schedule, and a few miles per hour faster than the test run. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Petra Kelly is not a band leader. She's not a star vocalist, but the Denton-based violinist has played and recorded with more than 24 bands. She's the epitome of a gigging musician. Every Thursday, in the Art and Seek Artist Spotlight, we follow the personal journey of a North Texas creative. Today, Kelly tells Jerome Weeks what it's like piecing together a life in music.
Petra Kelly is a working musician in Denton. She spends her days either in a law office or waiting tables.
You have to have a schedule that is flexible enough that you can play shows or go out of town. So it's kind of like having a really expensive habit.
So much for the glamour and the spotlight. But ask Kelly about the musicians she's played with or recorded with, and the conversation comes to a brief halt.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I have a list.
Kelly digs out her smartphone. There are so many names, she keeps the list on the phone. In no particular order, the violinist has worked with
Leatherwood, The Fox and the Bird, Trebuchet, Spooky Folk, David Ramirez, Brent Best, Clint Niosi, Ryan Becker, Smile Smile.
The names go on. Sitting in with all those bands and musicians may not be enough to pay the bills, but they show Kelly's range from indie rock to alt country, or what she collectively calls angry folk music.
I do songs about murder, revenge, and drinking. The songs of the people.
In 2003, Kelly moved from a Houston suburb to study music at UNT. She'd been playing violin since she was six, but she quickly dropped out and found work in the finance industry. Not for long.
I gotta tell you, if you are in your like young 20s working in corporate America after you've had to quit something that you loved doing and you start listening to punk music, you will just quit everything you were doing, which is exactly what I did because I hated working in finance.
Kelly was so hungry to play music, she even tried to find fellow performers through Craigslist.
No one told me, in Denton, throw a rock and you'll hit a musician. So you can go to a local show, find someone doing something that you like, and ask them to be a part of it.
Part of her work as a musician, Kelly says, has been just finding a place for a violin in a rock band. You have to fight to get heard through all those electric guitars. She's had breakthroughs. During one recording session, producer James Talambas asked Kelly to play like the cellist John Cale, back in his days with the Velvet Underground. It's an unorthodox style Kelly is now happy to draw on.
It's just a lot of crunchy, droning, or like squeaky viola sounds, which I had never tried to duplicate before. I was taught to play classical music, but play like John Cale. Oh my God, I could do that.
Kelly has pieced together a life in the music industry with food service jobs and the occasional validation through her art. It's required a certain mindset. It's required sacrifices.
I have given up the idea of ever being wealthy to play music, for sure.
On the other hand, for Kelly, a life without playing music is a life without her favorite passion. And that sounds like silence.
Without a passion, you're just sort of eating and watching television and buying things.
Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
You can see videos of Petra Kelly performing and check out other profiles of North Texas artists at artandseek.org/spotlight. Mostly clear skies this evening, low around 78. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 100. It's 99 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 98 in Tyler, 100 in Wichita Falls. At 6:30, this is KERA News.